Psalm 25. We were just there, singing there. Psalm 25. Eric, you said the title of that book again was Prayer. It's a great thought. There should be less and less time you spend not praying. You don't have to be, you know, in your closet and pray. That's the only time that that's not the only time you ought to be praying. There ought to be just a constant flow. Jesus said, pray without ceasing. It ought to be part of our natural breathing to just pray. But you know when we usually pray? When we're in trouble. So we're going to talk about that and how to let trouble lift you. Because you're going to see some real neat things here this evening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, please help us as we gather around your word and as we hear your word. Would you help us, Lord, to let it sink down deep in our hearts and conform us more into the image of your Son. We need to pray more. There's so many different things we need to do more of, but I think this is a priority. I know it is a priority. Prayer is the priority. We haven't really done anything until we've prayed. So will you teach us some more tonight about prayer? In Jesus' name, amen. Psalms is an encouraging book. It encourages a Christian, especially when we get trapped, get under attack, when sin has its way. Doesn't James says that when sin is finished, it brings forth what? So sin has a way of sneaking up on us, entrapping us, just wrapping around us and squeezing the life out of us. Well, when sin is having its way, aren't you glad there is a power that can break the power of sin? When trouble is trapping you and defeating you, it's time to pray. And David has written Psalm 25 out of his own personal experience. He has written it to teach us how to pray when we're stuck in trouble. He's writing from within trouble. You know, Tony could write a real good little note of encouragement to you about trials or something when he's through it, when he's finished with that trial. But Tony, it's another matter when you're in the middle of the trial to write about trusting God, isn't it? David is in the middle of a trial. He's writing about the hard times of faith when you're not finished with the trial yet. David is focused on the fact that only God can get him out of that trouble. So he decides to pray. And he prays many times to get out of trouble. This is not the only psalm where he says, Lord, I'm going to trust you to get me out of this trouble. You will see it over and over and over in Psalms. You know why? Because that's life. Life is, you know, somebody once said, if you're not going through a trial, hold on, you will be. David rarely prays. When you see the book of Psalms, rarely does David sit down and pray like we do. He doesn't say, now, Father, I love you. God, you're so good. God, I can trust you in all my problems. No, he's crying out saying, God, where are you? He's nearly panicking when you see him pray. And that's a good thing, because I panic when I pray too. The prayer of Psalm 25 is a great way to pray. It's prayer that has a lot of confidence in it, matched with humility. It is the asking for forgiveness. It's also asking for the defeat of enemies. Do you know that's a good way to pray? It balances. Let's learn how to pray this evening from Psalm 25. How to pray yourself out of trouble. First of all, let's look at the first seven verses and we'll come back. Verse 1, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. And when anybody's crying out, oh my God, it is not worship. It's a desperate cry. I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. You think he's sort of at the end here, at the edge of a problem, and he says, it seems like my enemies are winning. Yea, verse 3, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. You ever hear anybody say, for goodness' sake? You ever heard that? You got it from the Bible. So let's talk about David's plea. First of all, it's humbling to think about how we sound when we really pray. If somebody recorded you when you prayed, it'd be very embarrassing. If you're praying. If you're praying from the heart. If you're praying really like David did, it's kind of embarrassing. Listen to David as he cries out, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. That'd be very embarrassing. David saying, I feel like I'm about to be ruined. I feel like I'm trusting you, but it doesn't seem to be working. Don't let me down here. You say, did he really say that?
Yes.
And God wrote it down. How you pray can be humiliating, but that's okay. It's real. It's very exposed. David actually begs God to do some things. He says, like I said there, don't let me down. Don't fail me, God. Now, can God fail you? He cannot fail you. But it's okay for you to feel like it and tell Him, please don't let me down. Because the Holy Spirit will remind you, okay, I won't let you down. David's begging God to not fail him. Don't let my enemies triumph over me. Don't let anyone that waits on you be ashamed of it. Let them be ashamed. Let them down, but don't let me down. He then says, God, show me your ways. Show me how to get out of this mess. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Can anybody say it with me? There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not tempt you, suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, that God, 1 Corinthians 10:13. He will make a way of... When you're in a time of temptation, when you're in a time of testing, which is common to everyone, do you always know how to get out? Do you always know how to get through it? There is something good about praying and saying, Lord, teach me how to get through this thing. We always pray, this is what I pray, God, get me out of this mess. And the Lord wants to get me through the mess. He wants to show you the way through that problem. David's praying, God, show me your way. You know, understanding God's way is very important. Go to Psalm 81. You're in Psalm 25. Go to Psalm 81 in verse 13. Psalm 81 and verse 13. Tony, you want to read that? Tony White, would you read that verse really loud? 13, 81, 13. Now, do you remember when Israel came out of Egypt? Did they know where the promised land was? No. If they were going to get there, they're going to have to follow whose ways? That's right. And God was showing Moses, showing them through the cloud by day and the fire by night. Did they follow God's ways? And so David, God says, oh, that they had followed my ways. Teach me thy way. Psalm 95 and verse 10. Let's see, Graham, if you would please. Psalm 95 and verse 10.
Yeah.
So one of the faults of Israel was that for 40 years, God put up with them, but they would not learn His way of doing things. He had a way that He wanted things done. He had a way that He wanted them to walk, and they just fought Him the whole way. Do you think David would remember that, saying, Lord, don't let me make that same mistake? Psalm 119:15, Gina. Psalm 119 and verse 15. Wow. I will respect your ways, that they're right. So David begs God to show him His way. Show me Thy ways. He also says back there in Psalm 25, look at verse 6. Remember, O Lord, Thy tender mercies. You know, when David is begging God and praying, he says, Lord, remember how merciful You are. Is David claiming to be worth and very important so that God has to rush to His side, or is he holding to God's mercies? The only reason why we have any access to God is because of the grace of God and the mercies of God. And he says, God, you remember how merciful You always are. Amen. There's nothing wrong with reminding God of His mercy, because who are you really reminding? Yourself. I like this. He says, Lord, I want You to remember Your mercies, but I want You to forget some things too. What does He want Him to forget? His past sins. He says, remember not the sins of My youth. Maybe your youth was last month. Remember, verse 7 says, remember not the sins of My youth, nor My transgressions. According to Thy mercy, remember Thou me. We'll talk about that in a second. Remember not. You know, it is possible for God to decide to not remember some things. I like that. To remember not some things. How many things have you done that you said, that was stupid? Infinite number of them. Who noticed what you did? God did. You know, God would like for you to say, Lord, can we just forget that and let's just move on? Lord says, I would love to. I would love to. And then there's something really sweet about this. David is asking God to just remember me, for goodness sake. Can you just don't worry about my sins. Can you just remember me? I think God has a great memory, don't you? Mm-hmm. It is God's goodness. That's exactly right. So when you're praying, would you honestly sometimes just go ahead and say, Lord, I need You not to fail me. And really, what are you doing when you're doing that? You're reminding yourself, hey, He's not going to fail me. He's not going to leave me. He's not going to let me down. Lord, would You show me Your way through this mess? I don't want to ignore my responsibilities. I don't want anybody else to take the blame. I made a mess of this thing. Just get me through it. Lord, remember Your mercy that You've always had towards me, and keep that mercy. Forget my sins and just remember that I need You. That's a real good way to pray. Verse 8 comes up. David turns now to some praising. And always mix. If you are praying, don't forget to praise. Don't forget to praise God. I think we spend too much time complaining, murmuring, griping, demanding. We ought to spend more time praising. Verse 8, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. He just reminds two things. He says, God is good. God is good. That means if God is good, then He will teach us sinners. He will help us. He will guide some meek people. He could have abandoned us, but instead He works with us and He corrects us, and that's good. But it's not just God that is good. Can you agree that also His will and His ways of doing things is good as well? You need to praise God that where He has you is where you need to be. You say, well, the Lord, let me get in my mess. Amen. You needed to get into that mess so that you'd want to get out for the first time in your life. Remember His way of doing things. I hear so many times, well, if there is a God, why did He allow such and such to happen? I don't know all the ins and outs of it. I just know this. God knows what He's doing. And His ways are as good as He is. So David praises God. We forget this too often. Verse 11 shows up. Now David gets to the problem. For Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who does he start talking about in the first few verses? His enemies. But who's his real problem? Himself. David's problem is his sin. You know, he's finally getting to the point. And isn't it how we always talk? Leo, and I say, hey, Leo, how's it going? You having a good day? Everything? And Leo knows I want to talk to him about something. But I'm saying, you know, business going okay. You know, your son's doing all right. How's Pat? How's the garden? And he's going, okay, oh, this is nice. Everything's going fine, yeah. And about 10 minutes in the conversation, I say, hey, Leo, you know, I got a problem. That's how we sort of warm people up before we deal with the issue. Well, before David goes to the real problem because he's embarrassed and he's ashamed, he first starts begging God, praising God, and then he says, here's my problem. It's normal. Nothing wrong with it at all. He says his sin is the problem. I like how he says it. Look there in verse 8 again. I'm sorry. Verse 11, for Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity. David's main problem was his sin. Look down at verse 18. Look upon mine afflictions and my pain and forgive all my sins. Sin needs pardoning, forgiving. Most of the population of Ireland lives in a state of numbness, of guilt. They know they've done wrong. They were told of that countless numbers of times by their parents, by their teachers, even in their churches. They were told they were wrong. But they've never had the ability to get pardoned. I never knew that there was a way to get all my sins forgiven. Isn't that liberating? Transforming? David, he says, I need my sin pardoned. I don't need it relabeled. I don't need it ignored. I don't need it to be said that it doesn't exist. I need to find a way to get it forgiven. If somebody is holding a grudge against you and you've asked them, please forgive me, and they won't forgive you, you feel destroyed. Aren't you glad when you cry out to God and say, God, can you forgive me? Our Lord says, already done. Already done. Sin needs pardoning. Let me continue on this. Keep going there. Look down at verse 16. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate in affliction. And afflicted, sorry. Oh, I'm not. I don't want to go there yet. I just wanted that verse 18. I was just right. Look thou upon my affliction and my pain. I'll come back to those other verses in a moment. I'm looking for where he says, for thy good name. It was in there and I lost it there. Oh, sorry. Verse 11. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity. I was missing it. Whose honor is at stake? If you're saved and yet there's sin on your account, whose name looks bad? If you're walking around with sin in your life, who's made to look bad? God. So when you want to get rid of sin in your life, you can remind God, God, this looks bad on your account. Can you sort of help me get rid of it? Forgive for your good name's sake. God's name is a powerful name. Go to Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. See, Kevin O'Keefe, would you read Matthew 18:20? okay. When we gather together, we're doing it in His name. And we're doing it in His authority. Look at John 14 and verse 13. Ruth, or Sarah, you're here. John 14, 13. Look how important this name is. John 14 and 13. So when we pray, we can say, "Dear God," but how do we end? In Jesus' name. Because it's that name that gets God's attention. You know, your need is not what moves God. Your faith does, and your faith is in His name. Philippians 2 and verse 10. You want to try it? Okay, Ruth. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. Just at that name. Now, this world doesn't honor that name, does it? But God does. And you can pray in His name and say, "For your great name's sake, please forgive." Look at Romans chapter 5. Hold your place here. Look at Romans chapter 5. How great is God's name? Romans chapter 5. Well, His name is greater than your sin. And it's illustrated by His grace. John, if you'll read Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 17, down to 21. So whose offense, whose offense brought death in His dominion? Adam's sin. Death reigned. Verse 18. But because of the life of one, Jesus Christ, grace now reigns. Verse 18. Now, I like how Paul says that. You got this sin record. You got enough rebellion and sin against God. How much grace does God have to cover that? Much more. His name is greater than our sin. His grace is greater than our sin. His mercy is greater than our sin. David really doesn't have a problem, does he? But his problem is he hasn't gotten it forgiven. The problem is not convincing God or motivating God to forgive. The problem is getting ourselves where we ask for forgiveness. He asks to be pardoned. Notice his troubles back in Psalm 25, verse 17. He's got quite a list of troubles. He says, "The troubles of my heart are enlarged." Psalm 25, 17. "Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses." Get me out of them. "Look upon mine affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many and they hate me with cruel hatred." He's actually asking, he's saying, "God, give me out of all of my troubles. First, my sins." He says, "Would you protect my soul?" Look at verse 13. I didn't emphasize this. He says, his soul, the man in verse 12 who fears the Lord, verse 13, "His soul shall dwell at ease and his seed shall inherit the earth." David is crying out saying, "Protect my soul. Free me," verse 15, "mine eyes are ever toward the Lord and he shall pluck my feet out of the net." Is David free or is he in bondage at this verse? If you're in a net, where are you? You're in bondage. He says, "Pluck me out of this net. Free me." He repeats himself there and he says, "Forgive me," again, verse 18. And he says, "Just don't let me down," over and over and over again. And then I'm saying, please notice all my troubles as he lists them. They're huge troubles. He feels like God is not noticing his afflictions. He says, my enemies hate me with cruel hatred. Who really hates you with cruel hatred? Satan. That word cruel. I mean, it's one thing to be hated. It's this idea of with cruel hatred. It is our enemy delights in ruining our life. He is cruel. And Dave is crying out, Lord, do you notice what my enemy's doing to me lately? Now, Dave has got a part in all this. Back in verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed, his children, shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, and he shall pluck my feet out of his net. So there's a couple of things that David does here. The first one is, as you saw there in verse 1, he prays from the heart. He says, unto thee do I lift up my soul. God, I've exposed me. I've exposed my soul to you. He prays from the heart. Verse 5 says, lead me in thy truth. Teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. You know what he's deciding? There's no one else to turn to. There's absolutely no one else to turn to. And he's going to wait as long as it takes. If you're going to learn to pray, you're going to have to learn to wait. Does that make sense? Then admit you're wrong. Admit you're wrong. He says again in verse 11, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is huge, it is great. If you're going to pray, you're going to need to admit you're wrong. Verse 12 tells you need to fear God. What man is he that feareth the Lord? That's the man that God will teach in the way that he shall choose. Verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. How do you tell secrets? Is this how you tell a secret? Hey, everybody, Barry is... Is that how you tell a secret? Do you know how you tell a secret? You get it real close to him. And if you want God sharing some secrets with you, not gossip secrets with him, but if you want God, the secret of the Lord, if you want God to show you something that he's only showing you, that he just spends time with you about, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. That means you realize he's your only worry. He likes that. Look unto the Lord. Verse 15, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. Look toward the Lord. What is a good verse in the New Testament that says, look to the Lord? Hebrews, looking unto Jesus. Now, my physical eyes don't see him. I'm not supposed to buy me a nice little picture and put it on the wall and keep looking unto him there. How do I look to the Lord? In prayer? In his word? That's an excellent one. Looking unto Jesus. How do you do it, Dennis? Okay, it's from the heart, yes. But we say it this way. Looking unto him to see what he's going to do. I don't see him, but I can watch what he does. And I keep my attention knowing that he will do right. Yes, sir. Perfect. Perfect. Look to the Lord. It is an act of trust. Where do you look when you're low, you're down? You don't even lift your head up. But if you're looking on the Lord, your heart is lifted as well. David's part is to learn the right way. Verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he, God, shall choose. David says, I will learn the right way, and then I will rest in your care. Verse 13, his soul shall dwell at ease. His soul shall dwell at ease. It's no good if you pray and you don't actually rest in God's care. I think we waste a lot of time praying because we really don't believe. We complain and we say, God, I need you. But as soon as we get up, we're not at rest. Our heart is still just as tense, just as panicky, just as anxious as it was when we started to pray. You know what I tell you should do right then? Get back down on your knees and stay there until your heart slows, until your breathing calms, and until you can say, I can trust Him. David's part is he does need to pray. Do you need to pray? Do you need to pray? You say, well, I'm not in trouble. You ought to learn how to pray so that when trouble does come, you know how to do it. When you get into trouble, you get into struggles, you get into a dilemma, you have bills, you have problems in health and whatever, learn to wait on God. You know, I don't think that we take it seriously that we make our own messes. And we need to admit those. Take a look at your life and say, Lord, my sins are great. They're huge. And I fear you. I fear that it's only going to get worse if I don't get right. So I'm looking to you now, and I want you to teach me the right way. Teach me how to get through this thing, and then to do things right, and to rest in your care. That, you see how David is teaching us how to pray. Lastly, David makes a point in the last part of verse 20. We'll read verse 20. O keep my soul, and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, as if to say, let it preserve me. Now, when you get me out of trouble, keep me out of trouble with integrity and uprightness, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. I like this. David says, I'm going to make a point that I can expect all of these things, I can expect them to happen because I trust in God. What do you have to do to get right? Trust. How do you get saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that hard. David makes a point and he says, you know what? I put my trust in thee. Second thing that he makes a point about is that integrity and uprightness will now preserve him. What gets us into trouble? Sin, rebellion, sneakiness, sneaking around, not letting anybody see what you're doing on the internet. Waiting till everybody's gone before you turn on the television. That will get you in trouble, won't it? But integrity and uprightness will preserve you. You know, do you think God gets tired of picking you up? I think He does. Now, thankfully, He keeps doing it. But I wonder if sometimes the Lord would like to just come alongside and yell and says, hey, can you let integrity, morality, purity, steadfastness, let that keep you out of trouble? You know what uprightness is, don't you? If you're upright, you have nothing to be ashamed of. If you're like this, you're ashamed. You don't want anybody to see you. But let uprightness, isn't it wonderful to have a clear conscience? If you have a clear conscience, let that keep you out of trouble. Because you'll know right away when it's being soiled or when the devil's knocking and the temptation's coming. Let integrity and uprightness now keep you out of trouble. And the third thing he says is, this is not just good for me, it's good for all Israel. It's good for everyone. What do you do when you're stuck in trouble? Do you panic? At least you can start in the place of prayer. How do you pray and get out of trouble? Plead with God. Take some time and really just pour out your heart. We take our Wednesday night prayer meeting and we take that. I take it very seriously. But there is a time when you get, like when we have our men's prayer down at the activity center early on Saturday morning. We have a prayer breakfast and then we get down. Or we haven't had a late night prayer meeting in a long time. But where we get real. Where we begin to plead with God like David pleads in the book of Psalms. How do you get you out of trouble? Don't mince words. Make sure you praise God. You know, even though you got yourself in the mess, thank God that He's there to get you out. Present your problems. Don't worry, God already knows you're in trouble. Just He wants to know if you know you're in trouble. So present your problems. Be honest about your own sin and then do your part. Decide, I'm going to pray from my heart. I'm going to wait as long as it takes. I'm going to admit that I'm wrong. I'm going to stay in the fear of the Lord. I am going to keep my eyes on the Lord and not on my problems anymore. I will learn the right way and I will rest in God's care. And then just remember what the point is. You can expect that God will help. Is this a real deep, mystical? Did you remember that verse that says, the secret of the Lord is within the fear? We just read the secret. We just read it. It's not that intense, is it? And I guarantee you it works. Wouldn't it be nice to actually put that to the test and say, you know what, Lord? It's not that hard. I think my problem is I don't pray. I think my problem is when I do pray, I'm not real. And I'm not trusting you. I'm not being honest with you. I'm not confessing and getting things right. And deciding that when you get me out of this situation, I'm going to stay out. I'm going to stay right. I'm going to stay preserved. You can expect God to help. Uprightness and integrity will preserve you. And everybody in this room can experience this. If you want it, let's stand, let's bow in prayer.